kids know how to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and we're all out of bubblegum.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, rolling through the Thursday Happier Happy Hour at the Waukesha, Wisconsin County Fair. We're in the Forum Building. We're hanging out down by the Democratic booth, the Republicans at the far end of the aisle. And Dom, I would call this Rebecca Clayfish's backyard. Rebecca Clayfish, if you're listening from outside of Wisconsin, she is the former Republican lieutenant governor, and she is a gubernatorial candidate in her own regard. And until this carpetbagger, Tim Michaels, from the East Coast came flying in, helicoptering in, and announced and garnered the endorsement of Donald Trump and Tommy Thompson.
And spending a lot of his own money to try to get elected.
Oh, billions, like $8 million and counting. But this was Becky's race to lose. And now it's a coin flip. I mean, right now, the polling last I saw was like 26-25. Very, very close. And I would say Michaels is spending enormous amounts of money outstate. The only thing that may play to Rebecca Clayfish's benefit, the right-wing talk radio lottery here in the state, Southeast, in Milwaukee, TMJ, WISN, they have such an enormous influence on the Republican electorate. If they want Becky to win, there is enough Republicans in southeastern Wisconsin, in this county where we're at, to overperform and carry her to the primary victory, much like they did to Leah Vukmer back in 2018, I believe, despite the fact that Kevin Nicholson won like 6 of the 7 outstate markets. But Vukmer was still the nominee, and then Tammy crushed her on the rocks. And she was right to do so.
The backyard. Well, this is generally considered to be a red county. 400,000 people live in this county.
Well, she's from Oconomowoc, which I believe is Waukesha County.
And so it's one of the bigger counties in the state of Wisconsin. And we know, you know, the media market down here.
402,000. I looked
right
it up.
On. But, you know, Michaels is out there spending all sorts of money. You know, he's a construction guy, has his, you know, Michaels Construction Company, does all sorts of roads and, you know, laying down pipes and all those kinds of things, making millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars from contracts from the state of Wisconsin. So, and he's been involved in the peripherals of politics here in the state for quite some time. So I guess there's really no surprise. I think it is interesting kind of seeing the fact that, you know, the former president, Donald Trump, has endorsed Michaels, yet the former governor from the state of Wisconsin, Scott Walker, is supporting his former lieutenant governor, Rebecca Clayfish.
But the former governor of the state of Wisconsin, Tommy Thompson, is a Michaels guy.
Oh, he is?
Yes.
He is. Oh, okay.
Yes.
Well, that's interesting.
He almost ran himself. He was looking for anybody else. Hey, look at this. We got a U.S. senatorial candidate sneaking up on us. We'll say hi to him in just a minute, Dom. But let's break this story. Let's talk about this story for just a minute. Trump's favorite candidate for Wisconsin governor inadvertently exposes Republican hypocrisy on immigration.
Well, it's easy. There's hypocrisy in the Republican Party on just about every single topic. Reporting here, found it at the Raw Story, but it's Ruth Conner from the Wisconsin Examiner. We'll jump into this briefly. Tim Michaels, the construction company owner and Donald Trump's favorite Republican candidate for governor in Wisconsin, has been having a hard time squaring his past and present views on immigration. Michaels is taking fire from his main GOP rival after Dan Bice reported in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel that a group led by Michaels fought against the get tough approach to undocumented immigrants he now champions. Michaels has made cracking down on the people he calls illegals, a centerpiece of his campaign. He brags in his TV ads about building a prototype by former President Donald Trump's border wall, and he touts his blueprint to stop illegal immigration, including no driver's licenses, no benefits, no tuition. But the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel published documents showing that when Michaels was president of the board of the Wisconsin Transportation Builders Association during the 2007-08 legislative session, the group lobbied against a bill that would have prevented companies that hired undocumented workers from receiving government contracts, tax breaks, or loans. Michaels' campaign responded by saying he didn't know about his group's lobbying for the bill, which was ultimately killed. Michael's opponent, we talked about it briefly, former Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clafe, has jumped on that claim, putting out a statement saying Michaels won't take responsibility for the conflict. Michaels' troubles expose a more significant problem with Republicans' position on immigration. Across the United States, employers in the construction industry, as well as food service, hospitality, and especially agriculture, and especially here in Wisconsin, crudy agriculture, they're heavily dependent on undocumented immigrant labor. All the racist immigrant bashing you hear from Republican candidates like Michaels is not just mean-spirited, it's hypocritical. The Wisconsin road builders, whom Michaels led, know they rely on undocumented immigrants. That's why they opposed a bill that would take away lucrative contracts if they employed them. For my new book, the author writes, Milked, How an American Crisis Brought Together Midwestern Dairy Farmers and Mexican Workers. I spent a lot of time with Wisconsin farmers who voted in big numbers for former President Donald Trump, but who also employ undocumented immigrants. Again, kind of a hypocritical stance. By some estimates, undocumented workers, mostly from Mexico, do now, this is unbelievable to me, by some estimates, undocumented workers, mostly from Mexico, now do 80% of the work on Wisconsin dairy farms. As she
because
writes,
you left farming, Dad.
See? Because there is no U.S. visa program for year-round unskilled farm work. Dairy farmers, unlike seasonal farm workers, are almost all working in the U.S. without documents. Again, this is a reference to Milked by Ruth Conniff. She's writing this piece. Ruth traveled to Mexico with a group of farmers who go every year to visit their families of the workers. They expressed a feeling of kinship and pride in the success of the hardworking people from rural Mexico who have spent years laboring on their farms and built homes and businesses back in Mexico with the money they make milking cows. These workers are carrying the economics of two places on their backs, rural Wisconsin, where they're doing the work that keeps our dairy industry going, and their rural villages in Mexico, where the money they send home rivals petroleum as a share of Mexican GDP, causing Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador to praise them as living heroes. Most of the Republican farmers I interviewed for my book voted for Trump because they were upset about the North American Free Trade Agreement and other bipartisan policies that have accelerated the get big or get out trend that is killing family farms in Wisconsin. Trump's attacks on Mexicans made them uncomfortable, but they hoped he would shake up a system that for too long has not done enough for rural people. To their credit, members of the Dairy Business Association have worked with the immigrant rights groups Voces de la Frontera to set up skeleton crews on their farms that allowed their workers to take time off for a day without immigrants rally and lobbying day at the Capitol in Madison. The workers delivered milk bottles to legislators' offices with the slogan, "Got milk? Not without immigrants." Among the issues they lobbied on that day were the restoration of driver's licenses, which Republicans in our state legislature took away from undocumented immigrants in Wisconsin in 2007, a defeat of the bill that would turn local law enforcement officers into immigration police. So they've been jamming on this for quite some time. Lots of Republicans recognize the contributions of immigrants to our economy, and as one Trump voting farmer put it, admiring the way a whole community in Mexico pitched in to help build a house. Small town Mexico, small town USA, same thing. It's a bad look that Michaels, again, the Republican, whose group didn't want to be punished for having undocumented employees, is now running on a promise to make those employees' lives as miserable as possible.
Dominic, we've got a U.S. senatorial candidate hanging out at the Waukesha County Fair. Let's have him join us here on the airwaves. He is Senate candidate Alex Lazary. Alex, let me turn on your microphone. Welcome back to the Devil's Advocate, sir.
Thanks so much for having me.
Now, hey, I hear it's family day here at the Waukesha County Fair.
It is. My wife and daughter are, I think they just got here, so they're on their way to the tent, and, you know, we're going to walk around and enjoy the fair.
It makes you look nervous. Are you nervous that she's eating deep-fried stuff on a stick, or what are you nervous about?
No, I want to make sure that she gets that she gets used to that at an early age. So
the deep-fried, got to get the kids.
Kind of a Wisconsin tradition.
Yeah, and it gives me a good excuse to be able to be like, no, I'll finish that.
Alex Lazary, U.S. senatorial candidate. The first U.S. Senate debate was last Sunday, and I made a point, and I watched it, and we talked about it quite a bit on the show. How do you think it went from your perspective, sir?
I think it went great. You know, I think what everyone was able to see were the candidates talking about where they are on the issues. And I think we were able to, you know, talk about our message. And I think most importantly, you know, at least I know from our perspective, we were able to really draw the contrast between us and Ron Johnson. And I think it really set up what the final 3 weeks are going to look like. And I think what we were able to show was that we're the best candidate to be able to beat Ron Johnson, because that contrast of us having a real accomplishments versus Ron Johnson's 12 years of doing nothing and us setting us up ourselves as the Make It in America Democrat going against Ron Johnson, who wants to move jobs overseas and to South Carolina. I think that was a big win for us, and I think it's what's going to set us up for the final 3 week push.
You know, Alex Lazzari, Ron Johnson makes the accusation that beer costs more and it's all Democrats' fault. Now, during the course of the debate, you were asked how inflation has affected your family. And you said, well, it's not about me. It's about you, the voters. It's about your families. But, Alex, man, if the price of beer goes up, we're all in trouble. What can you do as a U.S. senator if you're effective and you win? What would be your plan to help fight inflation, sir?
Well, our ability to fight inflation, I think, can come down to two things: raising wages and putting more money back into people's pockets, and making more things here in America. And that's how we've been running since day one of this campaign. And I think when you contrast that with Ron Johnson, who is constantly fighting to keep wages low, who's constantly fighting to move jobs to South Carolina or overseas, who passed a tax cut that went to corporations and was paid for by taking money out of working people's pocket, right? We used to have a gas mileage deduction for workers. We used to have union dues that were deducted for workers. We used to have work boots, right, and all of that. That got taken out to pay for a tax deduction for large corporations. We need to repeal the Trump tax cut and elect someone who's got a history and track record of raising wages and making things here in Wisconsin. When we built Pfizer Reform, 80% of our materials were sourced right here from Wisconsin. So that was steel from Marathon County or concrete from Manitowoc, right? We pay a $15 minimum wage. We hired 10,000 good-paying union jobs. This is how we can mitigate the effects of inflation, by making things here in America, because that'll cut down on our supply chain costs, and by ensuring that we're having higher wages. And that'll make sure that that is going to help people put more money back into their pockets to deal with the effects of higher inflation.
Alex Lazzari, this week marked a momentous anniversary of sorts. 1 year since Bucks in Six, man. How did your family celebrate? I saw a picture of your wife still pregnant a year ago at this time. You know, looking very pregnant, quite frankly, Alex. But how did your family celebrate the anniversary of the championship?
All right, so we watched Game Six. I was traveling around the state celebrating. You know, the campaign doesn't stop just because we were 1 year out, but what it did also remind us is we are a few weeks away from Eleanor's first birthday, and I think that realization was even more intense. But it was awesome, right? Lauren and I were talking about this, and you know, she was at the game 9 months pregnant. We were doing the parade 9 months pregnant, and after the parade, she looked at me and she goes, "Oh, you have fun?" I was like, "Yeah." She goes, "Great. Go build the nursery. Like, baby's coming soon." And a week later, we had a beautiful little girl who's been the greatest thing that's ever happened to us.
Alex, what does a candidate's wife's life seem like? And what is your workload like as you're on the road out there trying to win a nomination, sir?
Well, I don't look at this as the candidate's wife, right? Lauren is the chief of staff at Planned Parenthood Wisconsin. That is one of the most important jobs you can have right now. And I look at myself more as the chief of staff of Planned Parenthood's husband, because what she's doing every day on the front lines ensuring that people have health care is some of the most important work that we can do. And I've constantly said, you know, Lauren and her colleagues are all doing their part. It's now on us to do our part and make sure that we win elections so that we can give women the same health care rights as men. And that's something that we need to make sure that we change, and that's what the stakes of this election are about.
U.S. senatorial candidate Alex Lazzari, I know you got to make dad's claim on the deep-fried something, but if people want to support your campaign, Alex, how can they get involved? How can they give a few bucks, etc.?
Go to alexlazzari.com to learn more about our campaign. We've got the final three-week push going on, so volunteer, chip in, help us defeat Ron Johnson.
Now, I hear Ted Nugent's at the big stage tomorrow night. What are you hoping to do with the family tonight, Alex?
Yeah, going to go get some funnel cake, maybe play some games, and you know, just enjoy the good day.
Alex Lazzari, pardon me. I was thinking about those funnel cakes. U.S. senatorial candidate Alex Lazzari, thank you so much for stopping by. We are live at the Waukesha County Fair, backed by the Democrats. Where we're up. Where else would you want to be, Dom, other than at the funnel kick booth? Come back, more doubles.